views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spears.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 AM or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
When the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the third hour of our Labor Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. It's Vet Sunday today. We'll get back to that in just a moment, and we'll get the contact information in just a moment. But I just want to share with you, it is a rainy, miserable Sunday morning here in the greater Seattle area. We're in the Factoria area of Bellevue, and we look right down on I-90, and it is dark and cloudy and raining like crazy, and I say, let's let our plants and shrubs and grass soak up all the water that they need, and then let's send this water, this rain, down to Southern California to put out those wildfires. But Gary, if we look out the window, we can see east and westbound I-90, and I'm just cracking up because it's like watching the hydroplane races, and there's rooster tails behind the cars on I-90, aren't there?
Yeah, you'd be better off in a boat, it looks
Yeah, but I mean, there's really rooster tails. Doesn't it look like that?
Yeah.
It does. It looks like hydroplane races on
I-90.
It is. So just keep in mind, after, you know, so much dry weather for so long, when those roads get wet, they get slippery. So please be careful if you are out driving today. And I'm going to take that advice myself, because I will be out driving today. So, yeah, slow down, be careful. It's really rainy, and there are rooster tails on the highway. All right, now, if you want to be in touch with Animal World while we're on their air, on the air, there's a few ways to do that, and we will have open phone lines, although I don't know when we'll get back to random phone calls, because we're going to be talking about birds as this hour progresses. Local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance, toll free. Outside of our local calling range is 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. You can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And please use that email address only when we're on the air. You can be in touch with Animal World when we're not on the air, or me personally, by going to the Animal World website, which is www.marthanorwalk.com. A lot of great information for you there. The homepage will tell you what's coming up on our next show. There is a link to our audio archive so you can listen to past shows. You will find links to all of our advertisers and sponsors, which is by supporting them, you keep us on the air. And you can click through to all kinds of links that with helpful information. Now, you can also contact me via email through the website if you like. Click on the Contact Martha button. Or address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. And as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I'm always delighted to hear from you. We'll be happy to work with you either in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and solve problems. But I don't work via email. You can send me history and details that way, but please follow up with phone calls. And because I am so very busy right now, the best way to get a hold of me is bug my voicemail. And that has been so true, especially this last couple weeks. It's the squeaky wheels that are getting the phone calls returned. So don't be afraid to bug my voicemail. You can call Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. And by the way, I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So if you or anyone you know have problems with their animals, it's worth giving me a call. It's Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. Bug my voicemail at 206-525-2016. That's 206-525-2016. If you're submitting a current events item, please do so via email, because it's easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. And if you need to mail something to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 4012 41st Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105. You can hear more of Gary on Monday evenings during his radio show, Sports Tangle, from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, www.sportstangle.com, I believe is the website. He's nodding his head. And Sandy will be back next week, www.animalnature.com. And if you're interested in more of Dr. Al's work, the book is Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. There's also a human compendium on the same subject. And Dr. Al's website is crammed with all kinds of helpful information, more articles being added all the time. Go to his website at www.drplechner.com. All right. That concludes all of our contact information. We're going to get back to Vet Sunday, and let's see. We've got at least one of our callers on the line, I think, Gary. We don't have both. We're looking for Peg in Olympia, and we're looking for Betsy at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary in Bellingham. We know we've got Dr. Al. Let's make sure he's with us. Dr. Al, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
All right. Now, we've got at least one of our people online here. Let's find out on line one, who have we got here?
Hi, it's Peg.
Oh, hi, Peg.
Hey,
all right.
Peg.
So
hey.
We are missing Betsy from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary in Bellingham. Gary, I'm going to give you her phone number there, and I'm sure she's probably up to her eyeballs in birds and is just missing the time frame on the phone call. So Gary's going to give Betsy a call, and we will see if we can't get her on the line here shortly. Now, I'm a little hesitant, you guys, to go into any detail until we have Betsy on the line. So I want to address something else, Peg.
Yeah.
And Peg, you're our caller. You are local here up in Washington, and you have done a lot of work with Dr. Al, particularly with your dogs, but also you've been working with your bird.
Yes.
But you sent me an email. I think you sent it to the station last week or something. I haven't had a chance to get back to you. And you were looking for particular protocol that might save serious imbalanced patients. And you'd found something online about giving huge doses of cortisone.
Oh,
you remember that? What I wanted to tell you, and we can talk about this another time off air, but I thought, Dr. Al, you might be interested in this too. When I've known all my life I wanted to work with animals, so when I was 15, I went right down to my local vet, got a job, and I worked for this veterinarian for 11 years. He was absolutely brilliant. And I worked into being his number one tech, and I actually moved to the area where the veterinary hospital was. I lived a block away from the house, and I became the emergency nurse. And so I took all the emergency calls, and the vet actually lived on the east side of the lake, so it would be a long time before he could get to the hospital. And most of the time he would just tell me how to do what to do with the emergency treatment after I checked out the animal and reported to him. And what I wanted to share with you, Peg, is one of the reasons that I was so open to Dr. Plechner's a syndrome and treatment protocol is because this doctor I worked with, Dr. Merle Pierce at Madison Park Veterinary Hospital. And as far as I know, he's still in practice. But I learned to love cortisone from him because one of the tricks up his sleeve was whenever we had an animal that was traumatized, now it was usually a dog hit by a car. It didn't matter how horrible the trauma was and how injured the dog was. If the owners were able to get to the dog to us still alive, even just barely, it was extremely rare that we didn't save them. And what he would do and what he would have me do as the emergency nurse, the first thing we did was give a huge, huge volume of intravenous cortisol. And I don't remember what, Dr. Al, I don't remember what kind of cortisone it was, but I remember it was a clear liquid and came in a big bottle.
It was probably dexamethasone. Soluble cortisone.
Yeah, because we're talking, 30, 40 years ago. But we would give, 20 cc's at a time, and maybe 40 or 60 cc's IV, and just pump it in there, and these dogs would live.
This was soluble cortisone.
That's what it was. And and I'm remembering a case of a white boxer that the people, this is probably the early 70s, they had a huge big white Cadillac. And the owner was backing out of the driveway, didn't know where the dog was, and ran right over the dog, right square in the middle of his body. Then, trying to get the dog out from under the car, they ran over the dog again. Now, that should have killed the dog, but the dog didn't die. It was hanging on by the tiniest.
So how do we know which way it is right now?
And they got it to the hospital. That dog survived with those mega doses of cortisone. And then a few months later, they did the same thing again, and the dog survived again.
They ran over the dog again?
Again, yes. Yes.
Sounds like he should get some driving lessons.
But I mean, in the 11 years that I worked with him, there were tens, if not hundreds, of cases, cases of animals hanging on by a thread, and mega doses of soluble cortisol, and those animals lived. And I know it was just because of the cortisone.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to share with you, Martha, was that, as you know, I lost a dog not too long ago that was on Plechner protocol to a surgery when my normal vet was off on maternity leave, and the people, the veterinarians, of course, said, oh, well, we can't give cortisol because it will cause infection or will prevent healing and, you know, the whole parade of horribles.
The standard argument.
Well, I lost her, it broke my heart, and that's when I decided I was going to start researching that. And I went into human medicine because, of course, veterinary medicine is silent on the subject, and I discovered in most of the medical texts that when a patient is on permanent replacement cortisol, which many humans are, and it is more accepted in human medicine than it is in veterinary medicine, that when there is any trauma, and surgery being a big one, they megadose intravenously cortisol, mm-hmm. up to 10 times the normal dose,
yep.
to get them through surgery. When you're on replacement cortisol, of course, your adrenals are not going to act normal. In Plechner dogs, they can't anyway.
Right. Yeah.
But and then Dr. Al's been kind enough to send me a lot of the inserts that come with the cortisol products that are being sold, and these, of course, are FDA approved, whatever that means today. But most of them do indeed address that same problem. They say in cases of stress, you have to up the dosage.
Yeah. So you're figuring that had we known this, we
had
probably
could have saved your dog
because when she needed surgery, if she was given mega doses of cortisone, she probably would have survived.
Well, and I'm wondering how many animals in this bucket are we really losing? You know, people that even aren't on the protocol because, like you found out early in your career, these dogs need it.
Yeah.
These animals just absolutely have to get it when they go through stress. So,
all right, we are up against the clock, you guys. So we're going to put everybody on hold. And I know from hearing the birds in the background that we do now have Betsy on the line. So we're going to put
Bam Bam too.
Yeah, really? Well, Dr. Al's going to go on hold. Peg's on hold. We've got Betsy from Mollywood on hold. We will take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we have a big old chunk of time. We're going to catch Betsy up and explain the endocrine immune imbalance to her. And then we're going to talk about what Peg has accomplished with her bird and what this estrogen in food is we're talking about. We're going to explain all of that, and we're going to see if we can't heal all those birds up at Mollywood. So we might even be able to get them a point where Betsy can place them in homes. Wouldn't that be fabulous? Well, anyway, that's what we're going to do. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, and the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats or to other household critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and there's Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies or go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
What is the Canada way? Pet foods that deliver superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and naturally preserved. Canada's All Life Stages grain-free formula provides 80% meat protein with human-grade chicken, turkey, lamb, and fish, 20% vegetables and fruit, and 0 grains for wholesome nutrition and increased energy levels. Superior palatability, digestibility, and nutritional benefits. Discover why dogs love Canada. Available at a pet food retailer near you. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on our website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit the Sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook, Robin Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only, to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on the third hour of our Labor Day edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk AM 1150. It is Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Plechner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. This hour, we are going to be exploring the effects of this endocrine immune imbalance and our bird friends, because I got into a conversation last week during our Shelter Rescue Sanctuary show with Betsy Lott from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary up in Bellingham, and we were discussing the fact that they've got over 400 birds up there, and the reason they have most of them and the reason they're a sanctuary rather than being able to adopt out is because the majority of these birds have too many problems for people to live with. They have behavior problems, or they have all kinds of physical problems. And so Betsy and I got to chatting, and since I was aware of Peg in Olympia, who we were just talking to earlier in the hour about her dogs and the Plechner syndrome, and she has a bird that she's been working with and had some great success with, I asked Betsy if she'd be interested in knowing more about this and would be wanting to maybe see if she could make a difference for some of these birds, and she said, "You betcha." So that's going to get us started. Let's check and make sure everybody is here. Dr. Al, you're still with us?
No,
okay. Dr. Al's sort of here. At least his voice is here. That sounds like Peg's laugh in the background. Peg, is that you?
That's me.
All right, and Betsy, are you with us?
Yes.
All right. Now, Betsy, I want to start off with... Betsy,
hey, can I say one thing first?
Oh, absolutely.
This is not really just about birds.
Okay.
This is going to be across the board for all of our companion animals.
All right. Well, that's fine. And Betsy, I want to know, have you heard any of our shows on Dr. Al's work and this endocrine immune imbalance? Are you familiar with the book, Pets at Risk?
No, I haven't. And no, I'm not.
Okay, that's what I figured. So where we're going to start, Peg and Al, is that we have to, and for everybody who's listening who hasn't listened before and doesn't know what we've been talking about, we've got to describe this basic endocrine immune imbalance. And I think in deference of time, since Dr. Al, you like the way I explain it, I will do the quick 101. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Dr. Al's been working with this, well, I would say, for at least the last 45 years or so.
Yeah.
When he got out of vet school, Southern California, lots of dogs in with hot spots, allergies, that sort of thing. Standard protocol was give him cortisol as an anti-inflammatory. That would stop the problem. But don't give the cortisol for too long, because then it'll be a problem. And instead of just accepting that protocol, Dr. Al wanted to know, why did cortisol work initially? Why was there a problem on down the line? Could, as he puts it, we have inadvertently been funding a lack of cortisol or something in the body that made a difference? So he started looking at all of that, and lo and behold, he found out that there was an issue here. And what he's discovered and then refined over the years is a basic endocrine immune imbalance that we say underlies pretty much all chronic disease and illness in dogs, cats, horses, humans. We also believe birds and probably everything else out there that's alive. And what it's all about is that, and Betsy, you chime in if you're not understanding this, okay?
Okay.
What it's all about. Well, and first of all, you can have this imbalance. Either you're born with it, it's genetic, and I would say probably the majority of cases are that way. Or it happens sometimes because of environmental influences, toxic exposure, or stress. Or it happens as a result of old age. And what's going on is that the adrenal glands, for whatever reason, are either not putting out enough natural cortisone, or the cortisone that is being produced is defective in some way, so it's not recognized and responded to appropriately by the rest of the body. Because of the lack or defective cortisol, the inner layer of the adrenal gland starts spitting out estrogen. And this seems to be the key in what has been missed in veterinary and human medicine, because this is adrenal estrogen. It's not ovarian estrogen. So that's why this can happen with male, female, spayed, neutered, doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with testicles and ovaries. It's adrenal estrogen, or, as we've mentioned, environmental estrogen that can aggravate it. When the estrogen gets high enough, it binds or prevents from working other hormones in the body, particularly the thyroid hormones. And of course, the thyroid hormones regulate the metabolism. So when they're not working, the antibodies deplete. And then what happens in terms of signs or symptoms kind of depends on the individual. And as Al's book said, it could be allergies to cancer. It could be seizures. It could be inflammatory bowel disease. It can be behavior problems, extreme irrational fear and aggression, all that kind of stuff. So Dr. Al has designed a blood test panel that tests for this imbalance and lets you know whether you or your animal friends have it. And then there is a basic treatment protocol, which varies, which was really very simple and varies depending on whether you're a dog, cat, horse, or human. And with many individuals, especially dogs, especially humans, food is a big component. And we have to make sure that the individuals are not getting foods that they are allergic to, because that also will affect the signs or symptoms of this imbalance. Now, additionally, we are realizing more and more this imbalance is aggravated because of the estrogen that we are unaware of in our environment, and particularly the foods that we eat, and maybe even the water because it leaches out of plastic, all that sort of stuff. Now, Dr. Alan Pegg, is that a good comprehensive explanation?
More than. Yeah, very good.
All right. Now, Betsy, did that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's go to Peg.
But she'll tell you how this affects birds.
Right, that's what I want to go. Peg, you have been working with Dr. Al now for some time, and you've been reporting to us here on Animal World for some time.
Right.
We've listened about your dog stuff, but you also have Bam Bam. Will you tell us about Bam Bam?
Well, I'll give you a short synopsis. My life changed on May 9th, 2005. I adopted Bam Bam from a rescue. I'd always wanted a big bird, and he's a blue and gold macaw. Mm. And Bam Bam really liked me, and I really liked him. And I brought him home from Oregon, and he wouldn't step up on me. He was afraid of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a nice cage set up for him and put him in, and everything was fine until the second night at 2 a.m., and my life changed.
Uh-oh.
I was dead asleep, and I woke up to a horrible, horrible screaming and thrashing.
Oh.
And I raced downstairs, and Bam Bam was on the bottom of the cage with his head cranked back and his feet, you know, his wings thrashing and his little feet curled up. He was having a horrible, horrible seizure.
Wow.
And that was the first time I held Bam Bam. I took him out of the cage. He was hyperextended and seizing, and it was just awful. And he had, I think, 3 or 4 more seizures that night, and I held him all night. I wrapped
Wow.
him in a blanket, and he was terrified. He couldn't perch.
It's hard to hear, Peg.
In the next week, he really couldn't perch safely on anything. He would fall.
Okay,
he couldn't perch on my hand.
Just a second, Peg. Dr. Al, you're hard. It's hard for you to hear, Peg?
Right.
Okay, what about
I'm having a tough time, too.
Oh, and... Betsy's having a hard time hearing Dr. Al as well.
I am too.
Now, Gary went into the other studio. I don't know if he's hearing us or not. I just waved at him, though, so hopefully...
Okay, we'll continue. That's okay. We'll work this out. Not a big deal.
Yeah, so Betsy, Peg is talking about how she rescued Bam Bam. We're having trouble because Al and Peg aren't hearing... Or Al and Betsy aren't hearing Peg real well. Is there anything we can do about that, Gary?
I can't hear Al real well either.
Okay. So, all right. So we'll have to. I'll have to kind
well,
of. Interpret.
Peg used to be a judge, so she doesn't listen to me anyway. So
okay.
It's not a big deal.
All right, well, Peg adopted Bam Bam in 05, and 2 days after she adopted him, her life changed because he started having horrendous seizures. So go ahead, Peg.
Okay, well, of course, I took him to an avian vet, and he was tested thoroughly over the next week, and ultrasound, and radiographs, and blood work, and I went to a number of avian vets, and he was diagnosed with several potential diagnoses, and I think the leading one was that he was dying of heart disease.
Okay, so vets did all the diagnostic stuff, Betsy, and they said
yep.
Maybe he was dying of heart disease, but nobody really knew, right?
Well, no, everybody thought he was dying.
Everybody
and
thought
I should
he was
take
dying.
Him back. I eventually set up a separate seizure cage so that it was padded. And you
if
can't
you didn't hear Betsy. He's a blue and gold macaw.
Right, I got that.
Okay, all right.
Okay, you can't use epilepsy drugs on birds successfully because it'll take out their liver.
Ooh.
And, well, anyway, I ended up working with Dave McCluggage in Denver. He's a holistic vet because I thought, you know, the only thing we can do is support his liver. Now, he had certain symptoms. He stunk. His skin
he smelled bad?
He smelled really bad,
okay.
Especially before he was going to have a seizure. There was just stuff leaching out of his body.
Oh, he smelled
and his,
really bad, especially before he had a seizure, Betsy.
Yeah, okay. And his face would get really red.
Oh.
And he'd start pulling his feathers, and he'd get very, very agitated.
Hmm.
How long before a seizure started that you noticed this?
It would be a day or so.
Okay.
And a lot of times we had multiple seizures, and it was during the day and at night. And eventually, as the I think the liver was really overstressed, and eventually he got better so that he was just having seizures at night. Now, of course, I put him on what I was told was the best food, which was Harrison's course.
Harrison's food?
Harrison's bird pellets.
Bird pellets, okay.
They're supposed to be very good. And,
okay,
yeah.
Organic food, Betsy says. All right.
Yeah, and Bam Bam was not. He didn't know what a vegetable was, and
right.
He came to me. He wanted peanuts, sunflower seeds, chickpeas, and he was used to eating human food.
Okay.
So he didn't get much better for about 2 years. He did continue to live. He did not die. And I missed a lot of work. I was spending a lot of nights holding him, and I couldn't sleep. I was just praying he wouldn't seize.
Wow.
For night after night. And he was always seemed to be cold, so I got him an infrared heating panel, and he really liked that, and I think it really helped him. And I would spend every weekend just poring over the internet trying to figure out how do I stop these seizures. And I found out there is not much, there really hasn't been much research on seizures. Idiopathic seizures since they've developed all these medications. So there wasn't a lot of information. And I was just Google for hours and hours just trying to find an answer. And after a couple years, I had run into the Dr. Plechner's book and read that, and I thought it was pretty good. I hadn't really met Dr. Plechner yet. But I was busy Googling one Saturday, and I Googled estrogen and seizures, and I got over 300,000 hits.
Wow.
And that was just in English.
Wow.
And I just sat back and I said, whoa, mother load.
Yeah, because, you know, the big problem that we face with birds is that, you know, they don't have a whole lot of blood.
No.
And you can't really run the blood test on the birds, or can you, Dr. Al?
I think it's a problem. You know, years and years and years ago, here in Southern California, there was a, as Peg knows, it was a Dr. Roscoff that loved what I did. And so what he did was he did do your IgA, IgM, and IgG on the birds.
Oh, so he tested the antibodies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And found these disorders, but I'm not sure where that went. I think he's retired now. I think his son's taking the practice over. And his pig knows. I have no clue.
Right. So I want to make sure we have plenty of time to get through this, Peg. So, but eventually, when you did this Google search and so forth, and you know with the imbalance, the Pleckner syndrome, that the high estrogen is the big problem.
Well, I hadn't really put all this together in my head. I did find out through, you know, reading a lot of the sites was that estrogen is, estrogen has a lot of properties, and it's a neuroexciter. And it makes it's an inflammatory type of thing. So your skin it can show up in the skin, it can show up in the brain. And for years and centuries, women would tell their doctors that they had more seizures before they got their period than after. And of course, doctors being male, I'm sorry, Al, weren't listening very carefully, and no one put this together. But the surge of estrogen before women cycled was bringing on seizures. And eventually, you know, a lot of this is starting to hit the literature now. I Googled estrogen and seizures last night, and this isn't, of course, new Google, but I got 16,800,000 hits.
Wow.
So it's getting out there, and I know there's been a huge study at Northwestern University Medical School, and they are actually looking at new drugs, new anti-seizure drugs.
I just Googled it and got 335,000.
Wow.
Just for the words estrogen and seizure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And now, and just the reason, you know, when we get into all of this, Betsy, Dr. Al, you believe that birds do have this imbalance, and you believe that it underlies a lot of the chronic problems, like the aggression, you know, and
feather
biting,
picking,
the feather picking.
Everything. Absolutely.
All the stuff that Betsy's dealing with all these birds she's rescued, you believe is related to this imbalance.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
And so the bottom line is...
Or the food. The food causing the imbalance.
Right. Peg, you have made huge progress with Bam Bam, have you not? And looking at what you feed and estrogens in particular foods?
Yeah. Well, I've done a lot of research on food, and this is still a work in progress.
Right, but I wanted to bring Betsy into the fold because she's got more than 400 birds up there, and the majority of them, I think, have problems, don't they, Betsy?
Mm-hmm. No, not the majority, really. I think it's probably in terms of those who do body damage versus those who pluck.
Uh-huh.
The birds that do body damage are less than 20.
Okay.
And then you
got a lot of feather pluckers?
I do have a lot of feather pluckers. Some have plucked for so many years, the feathers are never coming back.
Okay, and what about, do you have ones with aggression problems?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, so I'm hoping that you can start applying what Peg has learned with her bird, Bam Bam, and that we'll see if it makes a difference with the birds that you have. So tell us more about what you're doing, Peg.
Well, I at Al's suggestion, I think by that time I had met Al, he said, why don't you just Google some foods, and there are a lot of websites that talk about some of the more common foods that are high in estrogen and those that are they're called anti-estrogens. They work against estrogen. So those are the good foods, and the bad foods are those that are high in phytoestrogens, a phytoestrogen mimics estrogen in the body. So it acts like an estrogen. Carried in carrier proteins like estrogen, and the important part is it binds with the receptors. There are some particularly heavy hitters in that category. Amongst them, the huge one is soy.
Soy is the worst.
Soy is, I think, by far the worst. And
now, is there a lot of soy in bird foods?
Oh, yeah.
It is loaded with soy.
Bird food is loaded with soy.
It is loaded with soy.
And it
is a cheap protein.
Oh.
So is dog food loaded with soy? A lot of dog foods, a lot of animal foods. It is the way that animal food manufacturers boost protein levels using a cheap product. I'll probably get myself sued here. But soy is the absolute total heavy hitter, and there have been studies in New Zealand that have been been done with birds, and it is devastating to birds.
Well, now, so you haven't you had a substantial success in lowering the number of seizures that Bam Bam has because you've changed what you're feeding him?
Yes. Let me go back to the heavy hitter. Soy is the worst, I think. Peanuts are terrible.
Peanuts, bad?
Peanuts, very bad. Sunflower, very, very bad.
Sunflower seeds, bad? Oh, really,
flax
really bad?
Flax is bad.
Alfalfa. Flax seeds, really bad?
Yes.
Alfalfa?
Alfalfa is bad. Dates are bad.
Dates? Jeez.
Dandelion has some properties.
All the things you're putting into bird
is not good.
That sounds like everything.
Wait a minute.
Feed birds.
Go back to
clover
dandelion?
And red clover.
Dandelions,
bad.
Yep.
Alfalfa.
How are dandelions bad if the milk thistle is good for the liver?
Milk thistle is good for the liver, but it also, there are other things you can
but
do.
But it may
for
not
the
be,
liver.
Though. If the estrogen is high, it can still hurt the
liver. I just took Bam Bam off of milk thistle last week, and he improved again.
Wow.
Okay, because I didn't know milk thistle was high.
Sometimes, Nancy, it might be individuals that do not have the imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
They would tolerate the milk thistle, and it would be a benefit.
They would be fine.
They would be fine. But an individual with the imbalance, the estrogen in the milk thistle would be more detrimental than beneficial.
Well,
okay.
the milk thistle wouldn't work is what the problem is.
The milk thistle wouldn't work for those patients.
Yeah.
So it's not
Are dandelion greens the problem?
The flowers or the leaves of dandelion? Well,
you,
do we know?
We usually use the leaves. And
depends on the greens, though.
The dandelion has both progesterone and estrogen qualities. So, and a lot of this I'm guessing with because, you know, there's a lot of good stuff to say about estrogens also. But in these particular animals, they don't seem to be able to handle the additional load.
So what is left to feed Bam Bam?
Well, what I've done for Bam Bam is what he's on right now, which seems to be working because we can go more than a month now without a seizure, and the seizures are way down, and you know they're more drop seizures now when he does have one.
I mean they're way less severe.
They're much less severe.
At his worst, how often was he seizing?
He had 7 grand mals in one night.
Wow.
Was the worst night I've had.
And when did he have them on a daily basis?
And that was after I gave him some flaxseed.
Oh, after flaxseed. 7 grand mals in one night. Wow.
It was, I did not think he was going to survive that night. There have been several nights I didn't think he was going to survive.
And now you're saying you're going more than a month without seizures.
Sometimes.
And that they aren't as
not
severe.
Not always.
Okay.
They're not as severe. And I can usually predict when they're coming on because he has very clear PMS symptoms.
Wow.
It finally dawned on me the bird's got PMS. This is a DNA'd male.
Wow.
He gets overstimulated, he's lunging, he's nipping, he plays catch me if you can, and he's just having a blast. If you didn't know him, you'd think, wow, this is a really healthy bird.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely got an overload of estrogen.
And I think I interrupted you when you started to tell us what you are feeding. So what is working?
Well, what's working right now, I've taken him off of the local water, and I'm giving him RO water, and I don't know if that's taking the estrogen out or not, and
what's
I need to
RO
find
water?
Out.
What's RO water?
Reverse osmosis.
Oh, okay.
It's similar. It's a little, it's a cleaner water with less minerals, and it's supposed to be more filtered.
And you're doing that because we know that there can be estrogen in water that goes through plastic pipes.
Yes, I'm concerned about the xenoestrogens also. Those are the external estrogens that come out of the environment. It includes plastic and, things that, plastic's a huge one. And I've just read last night some of those xenoestrogens, it takes decades to get them out of your body.
Wow.
A phytoestrogen out of the plants will disappear within a couple days. But,
so you're trying to give him water that doesn't have estrogen in it. And
yeah.
What are you feeding him?
I make a mash. It's based on some of the lower estrogenic, I'll call them grains, but I think quinoa is good. And
quinoa?
Quinoa is more of a fruit, actually, but it acts like a grain. Buckwheat is an anti-estrogen.
Buckwheat, anti-estrogen, okay.
Yeah, amaranth is a good one.
Amaranth
is good. Yeah, wild rice, which is actually a...
Wild rice. Huh?
Yeah, wild rice. It's actually more of a grass. Squash is good.
Squash is good?
Except for pumpkin. Pumpkin is not good.
Pumpkin
squash
not
is good.
Wow. Okay.
And vegetables. Now, there's some vegetables that have estrogen in them, and I have not found, you know, a lot of these aren't really rated as to how bad they are, but I have found that most vegetables just are not, he doesn't react to most vegetables negatively.
So most
now,
vegetables
and he's just
good.
Learning to eat vegetables, finally.
And then there's estrogen in some fruits, isn't there?
A couple fruits.
Yeah, what, apples, cherries,
apples,
dates,
cherries,
pomegranates.
Dates are a big one.
Apples,
pomegranates,
cherries, dates, pomegranates, papaya.
What do you think?
All bad,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, those are not good.
And, yeah,
no, I do give them some
she
apples.
She would think
that.
I think she's the expert on this. But yeah, those are, otherwise, a lot of these things are, as she knows, is kind of anti-estrogen, if you will.
All right. I'm going to interrupt because we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors one more time in this last hour, and we are up against the clock. So as we continue, when we come back, I'm going to ask Betsy, is this making sense to you? What questions do you have? What more do we need to talk about so that you can start working with some of your birds? Wouldn't it be wonderful to find out if this really solves a feather-picking problem and a self-mutilization in these birds? So anyway, stay with us. More talk about birds and the Pleckner syndrome on Animal World right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of five. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs and prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including Reiki Level 1 for animals with Polly Klein on September 19th. Now's the time to enroll in the distance learning program to prepare for fall classes. For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Negativity and fear, two staples of talk radio. Well, we figured we'd try something different. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down this week's edition of Animal World. I want to thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here, and hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here from 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Vet Sunday today, Dr. Al Pleckner is with us, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. If you want to know more, his website is www.drpleckner.com. Peg is with us from Olympia. We're talking about her blue and gold macaw Bam Bam and seizures and the estrogen in foods and how addressing that has made a huge difference. And Betsy Lott is here from Mollywood Avian Sanctuary up in Bellingham. We're hoping to get her some help and maybe helping some of the birds that she's rescued. So Betsy, is this all making sense to you?
Oh, yes.
And you have questions for Peg or Dr. Al?
Dr. Al, have you seen any kind of estrogen imbalance with birds that are chronic mutilators, but they change their location? Like, for instance, birds with aspergillosis typically go after their legs and ankles when they're trying to harm themselves. Birds with liver disease will generally go right for the center of their abdomen or the lower part of their keel. I've got a couple of birds who rotate where they want to chew on any given opportunity.
Okay. Now, Dr. Al, did you hear that?
Kind of repeat it, if you would.
Well, Betsy wanted to know if you found a relationship with this, with birds that are self-mutilators that rotate where they mutilate. And she mentioned that birds with Aspergillus usually mutilate their legs. Is that what you said, Betsy?
Legs and ankles.
That's usually a T lymphocyte imbalance.
A T lymphocyte imbalance. And then you said birds with something else go after their bellies. Go after their lower chest.
Lower chest, like at the base of the keel or the abdomen. Right.
And then she's got some birds that just rotate where they mutilate, and she doesn't know why.
I think we've got genetic, impacts here. I think that realistically there are determined areas that will react. And what it comes down to, too, like in dogs, it's interesting because where you get histamine release is where much of this problem occurs. That's where the inflammation is. And I've not worked on birds, but I know on dogs, and I did dead studies years ago, when the mast cells, which contain histamine, are in the ears, say feet, tummy, and the back, this is where the reaction shows up. And with birds, I don't think anybody's done this. Let's find out
where
the mast cells are that contain this. And then again, the liver disease may be secondary to the endocrine immune imbalance, see? And with them, it may show up on the tummy, feather picking, the whole bit, everything we're looking at. But nobody's ever done an endocrine immune, if you will, on a bird because of blood. Blood is really, you got to be real, real careful, otherwise you'll lose your patient.
How much blood do you need for that kind of a test?
That's something you have to check.
We'd have to ask the lab. We'd have to ask Jason.
See what the lab says. See how much blood they need. And I would think bigger birds.
Like with dogs and cats, I think Jason has told me that he needs a minimum of 1 cc to do the panel.
But that's a lot, one cc,
isn't that a lot of blood for
a bird?
That's
a whole lot on a bird, even a macaw.
Well, but we tend to pull 1 cc when we're running a complete blood count, a standard
BBC
panel.
Blood.
We pull 1 cc off the big animal.
Okay,
well, that's something you could do, definitely. And right now, the problem is, and I really frustrate, there are no other labs in the country that can do these tests correctly.
Yeah, we have to send them to the California lab to get the results.
And I have nothing to do with the California lab.
It sounds like we could could test some of them if you wanted to.
What kind of a tube do you use, doctor? Do you use a green top?
Yeah, use a red top.
Red top.
Red top?
Yeah.
Did you see a red top serum separator?
Yes, they just need the serum separator.
I can say this to you, too, Betsy. I'm not sure how to, what the norms are.
Even if we could run the test, we're not really sure what the normal ranges would be for birds.
Well, no, we can get a feeling for it, so on and so forth.
Right.
I mean, it's not going, we can't do it. Yeah, we can do it. But
it's not like we've run hundreds of thousands of tests like we have on dogs and cats.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you and Peg Bauer have levels that have been run before on estrogen. on cortisol.
So I'm hoping that Betsy, you and Peg, that Peg and Betsy will continue this discussion off air. And that maybe we can find some help for all those birds, and maybe we can make some correlations, especially with the food and the estrogen, if it relates to this mutilization and feather picking and all this
stuff. It will. It's just never been done before. So, what you guys are looking at is, let's do a beginning project that has never been done before and get it done. That's all.
And document it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm quite certain that this is a manifestation of Plechner syndrome. I know Bam Bam well enough to know that he's always cold, and he has a heater, and I'm quite certain he's hypothyroid for many reasons. And, of course, the estrogen binds the thyroid up and screws up the entire system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would love to put him on cortisol, but we don't know the dosages. I can't, and I'm not going to be able to convince any avian vet up here to do it.
I bet you can.
Really? So maybe the two of you together can...
I know somebody you can talk to.
Hey, cool.
Okay.
You always can fool with food because you guys have control over that.
Yeah, well, it seems to have broken some of the continuing factors that go on here.
But that's amazing. One of the big problems is finding an avian vet that will work with this. We have trouble finding dog and cat vets or human doctors to do it. Mm-hmm. But Betsy sounds like she knows somebody that might be willing to get involved.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Okay, and if I can help,
One of the things I wanted to throw in really fast. All right, one at a time.
Let's see. So Dr. Al's saying if he can help, he wants to be involved.
Okay.
And Peg, what were you saying?
One of the things that I think you have to be real careful with birds is to feed only organic. One of the terrible xenoestrogens out there are herbicides and pesticides that are used in growing products.
Right.
And that is going to cause a terrible estrogen load for a bird, and along with meat and eggs that have been commercially raised, because of the soy that, they're using soy to fatten all these commercially raised animals and chickens, and it's they're just laden with the soy again.
Wow.
And your bird toys, the colored ones, we believe that most of the colors are soy based.
Well, the bird toys and the colors are soy-based.
We use natural wood.
You just use natural wood?
Yeah, and I've been using natural wood, too.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. So I would hope that Peg and Betsy, if you continue this discussion via email, please copy me and Al on what's going on. And then Al's willing to be involved and coach on this. And, of course, I want to know what's going on so we can keep everybody filled in on the air. And anyone listening, your animals and you as a human, if you think you might have this imbalance, one thing you can do yourself is start looking at estrogen in food and avoiding those types of foods. We've mentioned a lot of them today. There's more on Al's website at www.drplechner.com. And, of course, we're here the first Sunday of every month continuing this discussion. Peg, thank you very much for spending hour with us. Betsy, thanks for being here. And, of course, we're in touch with you all the time, so we want to know what's going on with the birds.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And Dr. Al, thank you once again.
My pleasure.
You and I will stay in touch, and Peg and Betsy will keep us informed about what's going on. And we'll talk to you again the first Sunday in October.
Okay, look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Dr. Al. All right, next Sunday we welcome Sandy back from her Alaskan cruise, and then Kat Albrecht from Missing Pet Partnership is here. Let's see, tomorrow night, remember Gary Hill and Sports Tangle, 8 to 9 p.m. Do we have a Mystic Radio Encore presentation following Animal World? So stay tuned for that. I missed it, the live presentation on Wednesday, so I'll be listening. And let me remind you, as always, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, and share your love with all living things. And we will talk to you again next week.